You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the third Sunday after the Epiphany, January 24th, 2016, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Today's Gospel lesson from the fourth chapter of Luke is full of power and helps us to imagine what the Spirit-propelled life really looks like for you, for myself, and of course for Jesus. Who would have thought that we could celebrate the Pentecost experience in late January? And I think it's a breakthrough Sunday. I don't know if that's a term on our liturgical calendar, but it's so good to see the sun. I've been looking for the blaze of the Spirit religiously for days. It's important to recognize that God's anointing and animating Spirit has been with humanity from the beginning of creation. In this morning's reading from Nehemiah, we see the movement of God's work in the people of ancient Israel. They have returned from exile and slavery in Babylonia, and now they are rebuilding their lives, their new lives in Jerusalem. The holy remnant of Israel, craving for a restored identity, are lifting up their hands and shouting, "Amen, amen." And in this morning, a breakthrough Sunday, we can say that too. The holy remnant, what did it mean? It meant that God was faithful, and the law of Moses, the Torah, was being restored in its rightful place in the life of the community. They were back in their hometown, and things were beginning to be changed, to be made new. And how would they mark this? But by fasting, no, feasting, and dancing, and singing, and to share their joy and their provisions, all of their abundance, with those most in need. Now along comes another Hebrew prophet by the name of Jesus, who rides into the spiritual wave of this synagogue. He goes back home too, Nazareth. It's many centuries later, but they are still oppressed. They're looking for Messiah. We are told that Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, has returned home. Yes, it seems that not only Jesus has been filled brimful with the Spirit, but almost everyone else he has encountered along the way has been filled as well. Let's start with that old priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, you know, the parents of John the Baptist. Zechariah met an angel. He lost his voice, obviously couldn't sing, and then he becomes filled with the Holy Spirit and eventually sings a new song. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Next comes Mary, the mother of Jesus. She and the Spirit sing their joyful song together. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And after the baby Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the righteous and the devout Simeon in the temple for the rite of circumcision. Luke tells us the Spirit was resting upon Simeon as he picked up Jesus in his arms and blessed God. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples. This was his song. And now, guided by the Holy Spirit, Jesus has now grown up. He's met John in the River Jordan. We are told that the Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism and becomes the Anointed One. And when he rose from those waters, Jesus and the Spirit of God, everyone there sung a new and more beautiful song. It was called, "You Are My Beloved, with Whom I Am Well Pleased." And then even in the arid desert wilderness, the song of the Spirit was not forgotten. It remained in Jesus' heart. Through all the temptations of 40 days and 40 nights, he never forgot the song of his baptism and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring good news to all of God's people. And so there was Jesus, with all the songs of the Spirit he had learned himself and all the songs of the faithful he had heard. He enters the synagogue in Nazareth one day, as was his custom. He has come back home. Jesus was not an outsider to the community into which he was speaking. He had received the rite of initiation to the Jewish faith. He was sitting with those who were like family and were family, had raised him since infancy. This was his hometown. And yet he had been on a journey that had transformed him so radically that many had difficulty recognizing this new song. He was coming home again, but he wasn't the same person who had left. In the world of therapy, we speak of this as the process of differentiation. Healthy differentiation from one's family of origin or religion of origin depends on staying connected to our roots, but then listening to the Spirit's new call to grow and change and speak our truth. To sing a new song without being shut down by the fear of being rejected or judged by the ones that we love most. This is indeed a Holy Spirit moment for Jesus, an early Pentecost. It was also a Holy Spirit moment for those who had the ears to listen. It is the Spirit residing in Jesus' heart that guided him to choose the prophetic song he chose. The story says the scroll was handed to him by an attendant, but he and the Spirit got to choose the chapter and the verse. Can you imagine the freedom and joy that Jesus felt as he sung out what would define his mission of compassion, of justice in the world? In an animated voice, prompted by the Spirit, Jesus boldly proclaims a new song to the people gathered there, people who had known him since birth. It was gutsy and it was beautiful at the same time. It is what Joseph Campbell called the hero's journey. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And because our Creator and the Holy Spirit reflect the beauty of the masculine and the feminine, let's hear that again with a different pronoun. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because she has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. She has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. This refers to the Jubilee year, which is required in the Torah to be observed in a very mystical seven, the Sabbath times seven, so every 49 years. This was a mechanism by which hope could be restored in the community, where historical owners of land that had been taken either through debt and couldn't pay it back or other means these lands would be restored to the original owners every 49 years. This was one of the ways in which joy and hope was kept alive in the ancient people. Now, Jesus models for us the ability to be true to ourselves, to be able to participate in this year of the Lord's favor. It's the working of the Holy Spirit that makes this possible. And when we cry out our song, we have the most to lose to those we want acceptance from. Jesus, in his hometown, lets none of that get in the way of this song that he needs to sing. This was a synagogue reading that had become a mission statement that would become a song for Jesus all the way to the cross. It is also our song, and we are called to sing it, even if no one is listening, or if others disagree with it, or they don't like the tune. Few things in life bring as much joy as finding your own voice. And I will never forget the experience I had trying to find my own singing voice several years ago. Now, I'm coming out of the closet with this. I was told early on that I couldn't sing, and I, of course, believed it. And then when I became ordained as a priest, I thought, well, at least I should give it a try. And so for a year and a half, I religiously went to weekly vocal lessons with our soprano, Lisa Lee, the wife of our former rector, Jeff Lee, before they moved to Chicago and abandoned me. I will never forget her initial assessment. Steve, do you want the good news or the bad news first? The good news is that you're not tone deaf. The bad news, the disappointing news, it may be a very long time before you can chant the Eucharistic prayer. So what did I get from that? No matter what your singing ability is, we are called to sing the songs of Jesus to the very best of our ability, because we are not only fully anointed to serve Jesus, but that spirit can't be filled to the brim until we can radiate the joy, and there's no other way to do it, I think, than through singing. When we sing, we allow the widest opening into our hearts to form and the Spirit of God to propel us, to move us, and to use us for his purposes. As we'll learn next week, many who heard Jesus' mission of compassion in this small synagogue in Nazareth couldn't yet sing the song or hear or understand the music. Some have even fought him from getting it played, but all of the resistance in the world could not keep Jesus from singing it. So this morning we join the faithful company of saintly singers, Ezra, Zechariah, Elizabeth, John, Simeon, Mary, and Jesus himself, and we joyfully proclaim the holy work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will proclaim in full measure one day the year of the Lord's favor, which might include me being able to sing the Eucharist. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.